Hello, this is Dr. Leo Galland, and today we'll be mapping microbial myths and misconceptions on the 15-Minute Matrix.
Welcome to the 15-Minute Matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today, I'll continue my conversation with Dr. Leo Galland to map microbial myths and misconceptions. This is the second part of a two-part special edition of the 15-Minute Matrix. If you missed the first episode in this series, go back and listen to that now. Dr. Leo Galland is one of the founders of functional medicine. In 2000, he received the Linus Pauling Award for creating basic principles of functional medicine. He's published numerous scientific articles and textbook chapters and six books. His most recent book, The Allergy Solution, is an international bestseller. Dr. Galland is a pioneer in studying the impact of intestinal microbes and intestinal permeability on health and disease. Let's dive right back into Dr. Galland's wisdom on the microbiome.
When you have an inflammatory response anywhere in the body, and especially in the gut, you get a production of nitric oxide, which breaks down into nitrates. And so inflammation creates a high nitrate milieu, which favors the growth of certain kinds of organisms, in particular, organisms that are in the proteobacteria family, phylum, which include most of the major gram-negative pathogens, the Enterobacteriaceae, you know, E. coli and Klebsiella. These are inflammatory organisms, but they thrive in an inflammatory milieu. And it makes sense. After all, if you're an organism that likes an inflammatory milieu, why wouldn't you try to get your host to give you one that you could grow in? Not that they're thinking, but from a biological perspective, it makes perfect sense. And so to only look at the organisms creating inflammation rather than the fact that inflammation determines what is going to grow there is a big mistake. And it's one of the reasons why, in general, antimicrobials still work way better than probiotics. Because you have to actually diminish the amount of inflammation in the milieu for the probiotics to be able to live and take hold.
So what you keep bringing us back to is, what do they do? That when we understand the actions of the microbes and we understand our physiology, we can better understand the reality for that individual patient.
Right. Yeah. It's the only way to work effectively with the microbiome. Is a functional medicine approach.
So in addition to applauding that, I'm going to ask you to bring us over to what I call the skills area of the functional nutrition matrix, the area on the right side. Are there misconceptions or major truths about sleep and relaxation, exercise and movement, nutrition and hydration, stress and resilience, the things that we can be speaking to our patients about in their everyday that can impact the environment and the ecology that we're speaking about?
Well, the first thing has to do with sleep. The normal architecture of sleep is created by the interaction between the gut microbiome, the immune system, and the adrenal glands. This has been very well studied, and it's been known for, I think I first read about it maybe 30, 35 years ago. There are cytokines that induce deep sleep, stage four sleep, which is what you really need during the early hours of sleep. Interleukin-1 is one example. These cytokines are produced by the intestinal immune system in response to the presence of gut microbes. Their levels tend to peak around midnight, which is when adrenal function is lowest. The secretion of hydrocortisone by the adrenal glands diminishes that response. So when you sleep, let's say in the late evening or during the middle of the night, that sleep tends to be a deep sleep because cortisol levels are at their nadir, and the levels of the sleep-inducing cytokines are highest. As the adrenals begin to get active around 4 a.m., then the levels of those cytokines diminish, which is why the second part of sleep, you move from deep and non-REM sleep into having a predominance of REM sleep. And I think a lot of sleep disturbances are related to the presence of inflammation, because that very delicate balance between adrenal function, the microbiome, and the immune system in the way it impacts on sleep is lost. And one of the things that you get with sleep is not only get more interleukin-1, you also get interleukin-1 receptor blockade. And I think the sleep center is very sensitive to that effect.
Some brilliant interconnections there for us. I love how we start creating a web just in what you're sharing right there on the matrix. So I know we're running out of our 15 minutes. Any one last point or myth or misconception in the nutrition area, since this is the functional nutrition matrix?
I think in the area of nutrition, what's really important is to understand that a lot of the effects of specific foods or food patterns on the body are likely to be mediated by the microbiome. And the way in which those foods influence the microbiome, what the gut microbes do with those foods, the end products, that's back to the what do they do. The most intriguing for me is the interaction between dietary flavonoids and the microbiome. First of all, gut microbes are needed to free flavonoids from their various bound forms. But the nature of the flavonoids shapes the microbiome in very complex ways. And for example, Akkermansia, which is an anti-inflammatory microbe, its growth is enhanced by red flavonoids found in cranberries and in pomegranate. And so maybe some of the effects of pomegranate on the body are through Akkermansia enhancement. I mean, these are important areas to be looking at. On the other hand, diets may impact that. And I just want to share in closing this fascinating research that was done at the Weizmann Institute, where they took rats or mice, some kind of rodent. They put them on yo-yo diets. They put them on regular lab chow. Then they'd feed them the kind of food that rodents gain weight on, which is high-fat food. And because the natural diet of a laboratory rat or mouse is a vegan, low-fat diet. I mean, that's what they're eating. It's not the same as a human diet. As they put them through the cycles, they found that there was a loss of diversity in gut microbes. Each time it became, just as in human yo-yo dieting, harder for the animal to lose weight. And the changes in the microbiome were less likely to revert to normal the more cycles of yo-yo dieting they went through. The big change after a few cycles in terms of what they do is that after several cycles of yo-yo dieting, the gut microbes of these animals broke down dietary flavonoids at an accelerated rate. And this is pretty interesting, mm-hmm. because the high-fat diet was not a flavonoid-rich diet.
Right.
It actually had fewer flavonoids than the laboratory chow, but the ability of this of the microbiome in these animals to break down flavonoids increased. The result was a decline in flavonoid levels in the human body, in the rodent bodies, and two flavonoids in particular were affected: apigenin and naringenin. Now, there are dietary sources of apigenin and naringenin that humans have. Grapefruit for naringenin is the richest, and parsley for apigenin. These researchers found that when they fed the apigenin and naringenin in pure form to the rodents, they started losing weight, and they began to develop an improved diversity in the gut microbiome. So it was this kind of vicious cycle that was related to the flavonoid, to flavonoid intake, but the ability, a general effect of weight gain on gut microbiomes and how that altered the ability to absorb flavonoids from the healthier rodent diet.
Brilliant.
It's amazing research and the basis for, I think, so much more looking at dietary influence, flavonoids, microbiome, and metabolism.
Perfect interconnections. Thank you again, Dr. Gallen, for your time today and for the work you've done in the field. I'm a fan.
It was great to be able to share this information with you, Andrea. Thank you.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at www.15minutematrix.com. That's www.15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to get my therapeutic diet matrix and be notified each time there's a new podcast episode, please go to www.15minutematrix.com/diets. And I definitely want to hear from you. How do you like the podcast so far? Who would you like to hear on the podcast? And what would you like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix? Let us know. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com. Plus, the time is almost here to flick the switch on our big rebrand, the Practitioner Training Division of the Functional Nutrition Alliance, which you may know as Holistic Nutrition Lab, is becoming the Functional Nutrition Lab. I'll be sure to share more details on our rebrand and what it means for you as we move into the new year. And hey, Happy New Year to you.